Log Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, broadcasting every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the CyberStation USA Network, and our radio affiliates around the country. Today, we're going to be talking with two very talented and very different women. At 2:05 Eastern, actress, singer, and comedian Lady Scoutington joins us. And at 2:30, the ringlet crown singer-songwriter with the angelic voice and the penetrating lyrics, Mary Schultz, will be here. But before we talk to our guests, let me remind everyone that this is your show. These bands are here to talk with you. So call us. You can call us at 347-215-7511. Or you can email your questions and comments to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Or log into the chat room. I understand from my producer that the chat room is going to be open in just a minute. Yes, yes, it's now launching. So if you're listening to us on Blog Talk, you can log into the chat room. And also, if you're listening to us on a podcast, you can still email your questions to our guests. You can send them to musicfridaylive@gmail.com, and we'll forward them on to our guests for you. We'll take off your email address, of course, so you don't get added to anyone's list you don't want to be added to. But that way we can also send you back their responses. So that's musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Of course, that's Big Big Bed by Blame Sally, and saw Blame Sally at the Boulevard in Culver City not too long ago. We have a guest on the line. Is this Justin?
This is Justin.
Justin, thanks for calling in. This is Justin Zuban, and you were on Music Friday Live at the end of May. You were previewing your new album, Shakedown, and it's ready, I take it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got a release party coming up?
You got it. This Saturday, release party is at the Hotel Cafe, 11 p.m. We're really looking forward to putting on a great show. I've got some guest performers coming from the album. Natalie Ganther singing backup. Heath Francis also singing backup. Michael Feldman's going to be playing keys. A wonderful group of people. Wonderful group. We've also got Barclay Roach playing bass, and it's just going to be a wonderful time, and we're really looking forward to putting on a, bringing the rock and roll that we're doing to Hotel Cafe.
And what time do you go on?
11 p.m.
Ooh, 11 p.m. on Saturday. That's the sweet spot on Saturday night at the Hotel Cafe. You're going to have full house.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to it, for sure.
For our listeners in Southern California, the Hotel Cafe is on Coenga Boulevard. It's between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevards, right in the heart of Hollywood. Get there early because, like I said, 11 o'clock at night on Saturday is the sweet spot. There'll be a crowd, but there are no bad seats, and the sound is great. When you come in, tell the doorman there, the guy who stamps your hand, that you're there to see Justin Zuban. And keep in mind, there's plenty of inexpensive parking right around the corner on Selma Avenue. You're going to have a great time. Justin, will folks be able to just hang out with you after the show?
I'll have a little booth there. I'm going to be selling CDs and some posters and some actually some little necklaces I've been making, just some different ideas, things I've been working on. It's going to be cool, man. You know, I'm really looking forward to a lot of people coming, you know, from all over L.A., and a lot of people showing a lot of support and interest in the show. And you know, I'm definitely going to be hanging out afterwards, so I'm happy to talk with anyone who's coming.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, I just have a quick question. I read that you actually produced and mixed the album yourself, and I have a copy of the album, and it's a great album. In fact, I think I reviewed it for Vince Magazine, and I gave you 5 stars. Where did you learn how to produce and mix albums in addition to all the other things you do?
Well, I've been working in sound. I've had a, been working in sound for film for about 9 years almost. And, I've just been learning the process. You know, it's just all the tools I'm learning from the editing and the whole concepts of processing. You know, it's just I'm kind of to the point where I felt confident enough in my skill set that I was going to be able to get it to where I wanted it to go. So I just, you know, as they say, you just do it without thinking about it too much, you know?
Well, you did it, and you did it very, very well. I recommend the album to everybody. It's called Shakedown, and I recommend that if you're in Southern California, this Saturday night, you go over to Hotel Cafe on Coenga Boulevard, and you catch the album release party, and you hang out a little bit with Justin. Thanks really, thanks an awful lot for dropping in with us, Justin.
Oh, you got it, Patrick. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break right now and to welcome in our affiliates. And when we come back, Lady Skeffington, Renaissance Woman. Don't go away. You're listening to Music Friday Live.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
And we're back. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host here at Music Friday Live. And I want to welcome in our radio listeners around the country, and I want to give a special shout-out to our listeners up in Ashland, Oregon. It's summertime. Ashland is the Shakespeare capital of the country, and we've got people up there listening to us on KSKQ-FM in Ashland, Oregon. They got their new antenna, so you can hear it really well. So hi, everybody up there in Ashland, and have a great Shakespeare summer. If you want to join us by email today, if you're sitting there with your earphones on looking at a PowerPoint and listening to us, you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. That's musicfridaylive@gmail.com. If you're not sitting there with your earphones on, you want to talk to our guests, you can give us a call, 347-215-7511, 347-215-7511. And for our Blog Talk listeners, keep in mind we are heard on terrestrial radio, so you can't say the seven words, you know, okay? Cool about that. And after the show, check out our website, musicfriday.nationbuilder.com. Well, Scott Derwood is a true Renaissance woman. At least she is to me. She's better known on stage as Lady Skeffington. She's a singer, an actress, a burlesque performer, a comedian, and a television writer. But most importantly, she's one of the funniest and smartest and most talented people in the entertainment business today. As a singer, she performs seemingly simple but really very clever and biting songs. As an actress, she has appeared on The Mindy Project, The List, The Dream Job, among others. She's written for the TV series Funny Girl. As a performer, she does stand-up comedy and burlesque, stripping herself almost bare, both physically and emotionally. And she's a graphic artist with a funny collection of sketches and cartoons you can see on her website. Now, Scout is a bit of an acquired taste, but one that you will savor and you will want more of. And Music Friday Live is very proud to bring you Scout Derwood, Lady Skeffington. Welcome to Music Friday Live, my lady.
Hi, thank you so very much for having me.
Well, Scout, thank you for taking the time to be with us. I know that given all the things you do, it must be very hard for you to find time in your schedule, so I appreciate it. I want to focus on your music, since this is Music
sure.
Friday Live. But before we do that, I'd sort of like to kind of better understand all of your entertainment ventures. There seems to be a lot of social commentary in your work. Do you just sort of absorb what's going on around you in society and kind of instinctively use it, or are there specific messages that you want to transmit?
I think my take on it has always been to live a life that you stand behind and are proud of. And if through that you're making a social comment, then by all means, feel free. But my strategy has kind of always been to let the reaction speak, as opposed to try to put too much thought into what I'm doing, which isn't to say it's not thought out and intentional. It is, but like, for example, being gay, I talk about it, but I kind of let people who want to react to it the way they do instead of try to lash out against it. So I try to always just kind of be doing my own thing and let people react to it how they will.
Are there any particular issues that are close to your heart?
Wow, great question. I think for me, I mean, of course, equality is huge. But beyond that, I think just, I mean, yeah, sure, my personal life, like I support a lot of environmentalist agencies, and I do a lot of like indigenous activism type stuff, so supporting activism abroad or however, you know, that manifests. But no, I think in my comedy, it's more just like the overwhelming message is be who you are, even if that's a weirdo. I happen to be a little bit of a weirdo, and so it comes naturally to me.
Well, I'm glad you're a little bit of a weirdo because it gives us some great entertainment.
There you go.
Speaking of weirdo, here's a song that does talk about a social issue, the perception of beauty in our society, but it's great. Done in a kind of unusual way. This is Pretty Burps. So we're going to listen to a bit of it.
Pretty girl, wash your hair. Why you so smelly? Oh, that's right. Baby wipe, what's on my shirt? BB and jelly. Just another day. Same outfit, don't be ashamed. This time I'm gonna look around for something cleaner in the lost and found. Pretty bird. Busy to put my hygiene first. Second day, shake shower this week. Fill your socks weak. Pretty bird, pretty bird. Pretty bird. Is this dirty? Gotta smell it first. Trying to tweeze in, pop that big bit. Boogie picking. There's lots of tricks to being pretty.
Now, as a man, I don't often, probably rarely, think about what it takes to be an acceptably attractive woman in our society. You know, I just know what I like, especially if you're a busy woman, like you actually are. And there's some lines in that song that say it really well. It takes a whole lot of work to be a woman today. Cutting corners is how we survive along the way. Now, that's really powerful, even if you do sort of punctuate them with burps. Is this a commentary on the pressures on women in general to conform to beauty standards, or is it a commentary on the inhuman pace of life, or on the entertainment business, or all of the above?
I think for us it was so that's my sketch partner, Amy Hessler, helped me out with those vocals. And Beyonce came out with that album, and we were like, oh, how cool. She's so woman positive. And we listened to it, and it felt to us just like a little bit left of center, like a little bit like, hey, Beyonce, you're clearly living a different life than we are. The original lyrics to that song are pretty hurt. Perfection is a disease of the nation. So Beyonce was speaking out against those stereotypes. We felt like, more realistically, my struggles are like trying to hide the fact that I burp or trying to, you know, all those things you do like last minute in the bathroom because, you know, you just didn't have time to do it. So for us, I think it was kind of a reality check, not only against these crazy standards of beauty, but against how people speak against them. Beyonce's take on it was very heavy-handed. And I think she's a very, you know, obviously amazing and such a great role model. But we were kind of like, okay, well, for those of us who aren't, you know, suffering from, you know, whatever it is, like, what about day-to-day pretty hurts, which for us was pretty burps.
While you were talking, we got an email in from Bruce 406 in L.A., and he wants to know, I'm sure everybody out there wants to know, actually has two questions. First one is, did you laugh a lot while you did the song? And secondly, who actually did the burping?
great question. We did. We had a really good time writing it, and kind of like pitching. I think even more fun than the stuff that made it in the song was stuff that we were like, oh, we can't totally admit that we did do that. So we had a good time kind of confessing our little shortcuts to each other. And the burping that made it into the track, I believe, is mine. Though Amy did her own fair share, and we had our own tricks to get that to happen. But the ones that it was hard to get those recorded well. It's a weird sound to capture.
We're talking with Lady Scoutington, and you can talk with her at 347-215-7511, or you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And for those of you listening on Blog Talk, the chat room is open. Now, in your burlesque shows, you do some pretty outrageous things, including smearing cake batter on yourself in one show.
Sure.
Do you think your audience gets the commentary, or does it matter if everyone, including you, is just having a good time?
I do think they get it, and I get a lot of comments about it. And again, one of the big comments I got, so I don't do burlesque anymore. It's still kind of an element of what I do, but when I left New York and came to Los Angeles, I kind of left that behind, in no small part because I think the context for nudity in which I liked to perform was kind of unique to New York, that it is a very, like, cheeky, very comedic-based. It's sexual without being kind of, like, super sexualized. Audiences tend to get it. And then out of context in L.A., there kind of wasn't that that kind of response to it. So a lot of the comments I would get in New York range from, like, you know, if I did a number that was kind of blatant, that they would get the message. But beyond that, people were like, it's so cool to see kind of body positive stuff. So again, like, it was less of me, you know, singing about, you know, we shouldn't hate our bodies, and more of loving my body as an example. And also, I think New York, and particularly the world that I lived in, the kind of like seedy Brooklyn and below 14th Street world, holds so many different contexts for nudity. And I think the rest of the world could kind of take a page from that book. So now I do keep my clothes on. I don't know if that's selling out or moving up, but either way, it's where I am.
As long as it's where you are, and you know, and you know, we have our nudity here in Los Angeles. You should drop by the nude volleyball games that are held once a year in Venice.
Beach volleyball. That sounds like a danger zone.
Yeah, probably. Well, I've been listening to one of your songs kind of over and over all week, and it's this one.
Okay.
And just because musically it's addictive, but it draws some pretty intriguing images. So let's listen to a little bit of Paris. As a listener, I'm responding to that song because it's in a hard.
That song's a Grace Potter cover.
Is it what? Is a cover?
Yeah, that's Grace Potter originally saying that.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, it's great hard blues rock, and which is well, I love. But I'm just wondering, what is it that if you were from Paris, you would say ooh la 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 la? I think got all the right la la's in there too.
Yeah, there you go. I think it's just a tune about kind of falling in love and being helpless to it. So, you know, all the different ways you would handle it. And if you were in Paris, you'd give it an ooh-la-la. So give it a little wink and a nod and do as they do in Paris, which, you know, maybe isn't radio talk. Yeah, but that's a Grace Potter cover, and that was done just vocally someone had needed that sample, so we did that for them and got to keep the track.
Well, I love it. It's one I've been, like I say, been put on repeat this week.
It's a great thing.
It also reminds me that you're a very good musician. You've got a great voice. You can control it and modulate that voice with the best of them. You can write and you can play different forms from rock to ballads. And most important, because I've seen you live, is that you have the confidence in your skill to play with your music, to push boundaries. Now, where did you learn to handle music so well?
So interestingly, I just started working kind of in the studio and recording and stuff. So it's fun to kind of watch that catch up, because I came up as a cabaret singer. So in New York, I had always just kind of, you know, kept my voice to myself. And then through kind of an odd course of events, I ended up singing for a living in a couple different shows. And from there, it's turned into what it is now, which is that I kind of went back and studied music theory and now can compose. And still what I compose tends to be more comedy stuff, so I break form a lot. But there's kind of a blessing into not coming at music from, like, an academic background, like not having studied it, because you make choices that intuitively are different, but you don't know they're different because you don't know the norm. So I'm recording my first little kind of studio album now of all comedy songs, and that's super fun. But it's definitely got a really live, raw feel, because that's how, I mean, my entire life up until now has taken place more or less on a stage, which is so cool. So I think part of when people say I look confident on stage is just because I've been up there so many times. And some of these, you know, you do these cabaret shows and you'll go on at, you know, 12:30 or whatever, and you're kind of like keeping the audience alive. And it was such a fun way to kind of cut your teeth on live performance. And it makes you so that, because you're performing live and often you're singing and there are dancers going on and there's, you know, the band leader and, you know, a five-piece band, so you're constantly kind of negotiating what's going to happen next. And if the dancer feels like she needs to keep going, you keep going. And, you know, if you're looking at each other and thinking like, man, there would be a great sax solo here, you kind of like give the nod to the sax player and he takes it away. So it turns into this really fun, fluid, kind of old-time jazzy, wonderful world. And then translating that into anything in the studio has taken a year or two to kind of get the hang of, a couple swings and misses, but now I think we finally got it, and I'm excited for the first album to come out.
When do you think that'll come out?
It's going to come out sometime in the fall. A lot of the music, all the music exists live, it has been done a while, so kind of wrangling that. And the album, which I'm so excited about, kind of had the feel of it being live as well as acknowledging it's in the studio. So before, what we try to do is take the songs and try to keep them, restrict them to a form, which they don't always do for me because they're comedy songs, so it's funny to have these little asides and things like that. And what we did instead was, like, one of the songs we performed with a laugh track to it, kind of a heavy-handed, super cheesy kitsch laugh track. We're keeping the intro, so it comes off feeling a little more like a Tenacious D album, or a little bit more like a live concert performed in studio for just me and my piano player. But I'm really happy with it. I think it's something really new and really fun. Late summer, early fall.
I'm looking forward to it, and obviously a number of our listeners are too, because we got a lot of emails asking this question, and I'll just read one of them. This is from Lola Bola in Seattle, and Lola wants to know, where do we get your songs, and what is the name of the album?
Great question. The album is called Woman of Whimsy, it'll pop up on iTunes. My honest best advice right now is just to follow me on Twitter at Lady Scoutington. Because all that faith's come out that way. And it's really been a really fun, fast ride from just having sung for years in the backs of bars and clubs to it getting a lot more attention. So it's kind of a great race to try to keep up with myself, which I think as an artist is kind of exactly what you want. So, we don't have an official release date yet. But all of the material is getting previewed at Dixon Place in New York on the 10th in a show called Woman of Whimsy, This Would Kill in Vegas is the name of that show.
Okay. We're talking with Lady Scoutington, and you can talk with her, too, at 347-215-7511, or keep those emails coming. And for all of you who have emailed in, more nudity, please. I don't think we're doing that anymore. Right?
But nudity doesn't really work over the radio either, so even
true,
if we wanted to.
That's true. Your resume is kind of a short story unto itself, and I recommend our audience to go to your website and take a look at your resume. You've done a lot of very interesting things, one of which caught my eye among your special skills is rugby. Have you played rugby?
Oh, yeah. I played through college. I played a couple years after. I actually originally went to college to play soccer and then decided I wanted to move around a little bit, so I ended up just playing D3, but I played all 4 years. And the last two of those, I picked up rugby, and it became a wonderfully addictive habit. And then I played a couple years club in New York. Yeah, I was, I'm a weak side flanker, so I do have chops.
Was this a girls' rugby team, or was it a mixed rugby team?
Oh, sure. I feel like co-ed rugby would be suicide unless it was like flag. No, this was all women's. I love women's sports. I think it's such a cool... Like, it's such an important role model for people to have. I mean, I was a soccer player, so I had the Fab Five, you know, Mia Hamm, Brianna Scurry, Brittany Chastain, Joyce Hottie, all of them to look up to, and a lot of women don't have that. And it's such a, like, ballsy, wonderful thing. And actually, I quit most sports now just for showbiz, but I my friends entered me in an oil wrestling contest recently, and I was like, oh, sure, this will be fun. And we got there, and it was very serious, and I had that moment of like, oh, this is the day I die. It was nice knowing you. Because the girls were so tough. And then I ended up losing in the championship match and went all the way to the finals, which was so unexpected and some of the most fun I've had in a while.
We're going to get back to music, before all the emails pour in asking where the video to that is there video to that?
No, there's not video, just my memories. Who knows, though? Maybe
right.
The next chapter for me is MMA fighting.
All right, everybody can just cool off. You don't have to ask about the video for that. one of the more unusual, and when you listen to the words, endearing, is this particular song, which I love dearly, Snuggle Pup.
Snuggle Pup. Snuggle, 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 pop. Snuggle, pop. Snuggle, 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 pop. Homeward bound from the pound. Show the world you gotta. Snuggle, pop. Snuggle, 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 pop. Snuggle, pop. Snuggle, 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 pop. Snuggle, pop. Snuggle, 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 pop. It's my hound. Walk around. Show the world you gotta. Doggy style. Dig out in the dirt. Puppy breath. Hair on my shirt. Doggo says, it's a freaking curse. Big and Bobby line. It's how we converse.
That's a fascinating song. Can I conclude from that you are not only a dog lover but a dog owner?
I am. Omelette is sitting right next to me. She's featured in that video. That's another collaboration with Amy Hessler. Just kind of our take on a rap song. We're not big into Crystal or cars, but we do love our dogs.
Okay. Well, next time you're on the show, and I'd like to have you back on the show when your album's out, we'll have to do it live in the studio, and you can bring your dog who can play with the two dogs that are here.
Perfect.
Either that or they can all fight in the background. Well, we have been having fun, which means that time has flown. Before you leave, though, I know you have a couple of shows coming up. You've got one this Sunday night at 9 p.m. at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. It's called Music in the Key of Funny. Is that right? And then, as you mentioned, the Whimsy Show returns to El Cid on Saturday, July 26th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Got that one right?
Over in Silver Lake in Los Angeles, of course, yes.
Okay, and I plan to be on that one. And you mentioned a show in New York at the Dixon.
Yeah. So I'm performing Works in Progress, Women of Whimsy, This Would Kill in Vegas on the 10th at Dixon Place at 7:30.
Okay,
and so that'll be basically the whole album presented.
That's three good shows coming up and on the two sides of the country. So everybody will have a chance, at least on the two sides of the country, to see you live. And let me tell you, seeing this lady live on stage is definitely an experience you don't want to miss. Scout, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'm looking forward to having you back when your new album's out.
Oh, thanks. Such a joy. Thank you so much.
We have to take a break now, and when we return, the ringlet-crowned princess with the angelic voice joins us. Don't go away.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation UFA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
And we're back here at Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host. And don't forget, we love to hear from you. The chat room is open. We've got some people in there in the chat room. You can also call us, 347-215-7511. And you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And for all those people whose emails arrived after Scout left, I'm sorry, but we will forward them on to her, except for the ones that asked for more nudity in L.A., because she said she's not going to do that anymore, all right? Okay. Well, a quick word from our sponsor. We have a wonderful sponsor, Solar Power. Solar Power is a huge win-win for homeowners, and a lot of you, however, are reluctant to take the plunge into solar because the upfront costs. Well, Solar City, our sponsor, Solar City, will allow you to go solar for zero upfront costs on approved credit. Solar City will come out and install a solar system on your home for free, and you will only pay for the power you use, just like you do from the utility company, except you'll use a lot less power because the sun is making as much as half of your electricity. Solar City pays for the system, it insures the system, and it maintains the system. All you have to do is sit back and enjoy the savings. So if you've been ready for solar, but solar hasn't been ready for you, it is now at Solar City, America's number one clean energy provider. How do you find out? Well, you call this number. Get a pencil ready. I'll give you a second. 909-618-6937. That's 909-618-6937. And when you call that number, tell the person who answers, who is probably going to be a young woman by the name of Tina, who will take your order, and because you tell her you heard it from me, you tell her you heard about it on Music Friday, she'll give you a discount on your order. She can give you a discount of as much as $250 on your order. So that's 909-618-6937. I first saw our next guest at a music club, and I was just knocked out, not only by her talent, but by her ability to connect with the audience on a personal level from the stage. Mary Schultz is in her element on stage. When she turns her wicked, brilliant smile on the room, framed by her trademark long feather earrings and thick black ringlets of hair, she makes each person in the audience just relax into what seems like a personal relationship. Her new album, The Girl You Thought You Knew, has the same magic. It pulls you close and makes you feel like she's singing to you. Her clear, bell-like voice, her honest lyrics, her intimate introspection, all combine to make this album as much of a joy as her live shows are. And equally joyful, she's here today with us. Mary, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Thank you so much for having me, Patrick. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Well, Mary, first of all, congratulations on the album. I know it's been in the works for a while. It's your first full-length album, and it's really jam-packed with music. You've got 15 songs. Why so many songs on this album?
Well, I wanted to take the listener on a full journey on this one. I've released a few EPs previously, and I just had a lot that I wanted to say. You know, there was actually a number of other songs that were in the lineup to potentially be on the album that got cut, and when I got down to 15, I just felt like I couldn't cut any further without kind of losing the arc of the album. So that's why there's 15, and I'm very happy with all of them and very excited to hear about. It's interesting to hear which songs resonate more with people. You know, it's always different reasons. So, yep, that's why there's 15.
Well, they all resonate with me, and I'm glad you did it, because I know a lot of artists kind of hold back on songs for the second album, but you've just given us a huge present, so I think you did the right thing. Every song is a success, too, and somehow you managed in 15 songs there are no fillers at all. Every song is a success. So I want to give our listeners a taste of what to expect on The Girl You Thought You Knew, and this is a song that has... I've been listening to all week. It's the title song for the album, and it's just addictive. Here it is.
Maybe, but I tried. Sorry for telling you those lies. Sorry for messing with your mind. Well, I never meant to make you cry.
You know, the reason I have the long extension on my earphones here is so I can get up and dance, which is what I was doing with that one. You know, Mary, for a girl from Philly, you seem to put an awful lot of twang into that song. Has your countryside kind of resurfaced in this album?
You know, it's funny. A couple of people have asked me about that. I had a little bit of a country feel to the EP that I released in 2010. I had a little bit of slide guitar on there and a song called Tennessee, so it kind of lent itself towards a country feel. And that really wasn't the intention at all with this album. I don't really feel that there's much country in it until you get to Standing on the Edge of Goodbye, which is a duet with a country artist out of Nashville, actually. But, you know, it's kind of funny that people have consistently thought that I was from the South just because of apparently a slight lilt in my voice when I speak, which I don't know where that comes from. I'm not from the South. I've certainly spent a nice amount of time there, and I do like it there, but that's, you know, not why I'm from Philly. So I don't really know where that comes from, but I love country rock, and I love blues, and so I just with that song in particular, I just wanted to have a little bit more of a grittier, bluesier feel to it. Lends itself towards the southern feel. So,
well, it worked. It works very well. Like I said, you've created an addictive song there. A question, however, why did you entitle the album "The Girl You Thought You Knew"? Is this a different girl?
Well, it's not so much a different girl as it is just a more honest one, I guess. I just find that, you know, over the past few years, I really have been more aware of who I am as a person, just for myself, let alone, you know, towards other people. Not that I was ever not being myself, but as you grow and you learn about yourself, you just become more of a truthful version of who you are. So the album kind of takes you through multiple types of transition, you know, being like through your own life with yourself, with relationships with other people. And it's just, I find that through all of that, you just learn more about yourself, and then you're just showing other people more about yourself as well. And so that's the meaning of the title of the album. It's not only a showcase to people who have known you through the years, who are getting to know you again, but also getting to know yourself again.
Well, I'm glad to get to know you just for the first time. And I want to play a song that definitely has no twang in it, but it's a really powerful story that you sum up into three words: someone else's wife.
You never walk through. I made my choice to live my life. Then you pulled your car up right beside me. But I'm someone else's wife. Yeah. If I never knew you, I never
That is one of the most poignant songs I've ever heard. Where did that story come from?
Well, I mean, that story came from my own life. It's something that people don't really talk about, I find, very frequently, and that is, you know, meeting somebody at the wrong time. And sometimes it's to kind of open your eyes to where, it's always to open your eyes to where you are and what it is that you should be doing, regardless of whether it's that you're in the right place or that you're in the wrong place. And so I was very nervous, actually. I feel like I sound nervous about talking about it. I was nervous to put it on the album because it's not something that people frown upon the idea of it, you know, even just discussing it, meeting somebody else. Like, I was married. I got married young, and I just experienced what it was like to, like, come across different people and realize where it was that I should be or decisions that I should be making. So I wanted to put it on the album because I felt very alone at the time, because I didn't want to talk about it, and I was nervous about it, and people don't like to talk about it. So, you know, that wasn't the reason that I personally am no longer married, and that wasn't the reason for that. That was just something that came along the way that kind of opened my eyes to a few things. And that happens, you know, and I think that it's just a very human thing to meet and connect with other people, and I wish it would be less of a taboo subject so that people didn't feel so confused and alone and shamed and not want to discuss it and help themselves work through things like that.
Well, I think the way you did it is a gift to all of us. I know many, many people. In fact, we've got some emails here. Cecily in Austin writes, hooray for wife. We've all been there. I'm very glad you put that, and I don't think it should be taboo at all. I think you've given us a gift with that one. We're talking with Mary Schultz about her new album, The Girl You Thought You Knew, and you can talk to her at 347-215-7511. You can email her at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. A lot of you are doing that. Simpson Tiger in Newark wants to know, did you play clubs in Philly, and are the audiences different than the audiences in L.A.? And actually, you play clubs all over the country, haven't you?
Yes, I have indeed. Thank you for writing in, Simpson. I'm a Simpson, right? I want to make sure I get all these names right. Yes, I have played clubs in Philly. I played there over the years before I moved to Los Angeles. But I also was just recently there. I released the new album in February, and then I went on a 3-month U.S. tour. So I was all over the country, and it was just such an incredible experience. But I played a show in my hometown at the Tin Angel, which was wonderful, and it was packed, and such a lovely audience, so many, like, familiar, wonderful faces, and a lot of new ones. So that was great, and it is different. It's different everywhere that you go, Philadelphia to New York, you know, to Minneapolis or Chicago and Los Angeles. Like, everywhere is a little bit different than the types of audiences and the types of things that people want to hear. It also largely has to do with the venue itself. It's not necessarily the group of people or the location. Sometimes, you know, the venue lends itself to a more intimate performance, and sometimes the audience is more into hearing the slow stuff, and sometimes they want a little bit more of an up-tempo feel for the night. So it kind of depends on the night and the venue and all that stuff. But I love coming home to Philly. It's always a wonderful crowd. It's always nice to be in my hometown. And I love playing Los Angeles and all over the country. It really was a beautiful experience that I had, just getting to visit so many different people all around the country. You know, it all comes down to the same thing, which is that we're all human and we're all going through the same crap every day. And it's nice to be able to connect with someone. You know, anytime somebody comes up to me after a show and says that, hey, this song really, really meant something to me because that's what I'm going through right now. And I, you know, that's the meaning of music as far as I'm concerned. That's the point of it. And so that somebody else can say, oh, that's exactly how I feel. I couldn't seem to get to put it into words, or nobody seems to understand, but that's it. You know, that's a big deal to be able to identify with another person on that level.
Well, maybe that's why you do connect so well when you're up on stage, and also in this album. Like I said, listening to you sing is kind of like having a private concert. It's really remarkable the way you do it.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's a great compliment, because that really is my goal. I just want everyone there to feel at home and to feel like they know me. You know, we may have never met before, but we're all the same on a certain level, and we all go through the same stuff. So if that's the outcome of people coming in and seeing the show, I'm really grateful for that.
Oh, it works. And you've got a huge range, too. You do a lot of different kinds of things. And, of course, that would be expected for an album that's is this generous with this many songs on it. A song that stands out and actually stood out for me when I heard you do it live for the lyrics and also the way you use your voice is this one here. And I want to play a little bit about I want to play a little bit of In My Bed. Song shows a kind of a softer, erotic side, and you modulate your voice so you can range from sweetness to urgency to later on kind of an anthem. Did you have that sound and feel in mind when you wrote that song, or did it just kind of evolve as you worked on it?
I mean, it kind of evolved, I guess. When I sat down to write it, the first thing that I wrote was the first two lines, I want to feel you in my bed. I want to know if it feels the same as it does in my head. And I just, it started soft. And then as I was working on what I wanted the production to sound like, how I wanted the band to come in, after the first chorus, and I just wanted it to build the way that an intimate relationship would build, So that's kind of where that thought process came from. But it just really came through performing the song over and over for different audiences, and just kind of just like finding my way into it and how I wanted it to evolve.
Well, the night I heard it, it really quieted the audience. People listened. and I don't know if it's because of the eroticism in it or why, but it was remarkable to hear the chatter go down. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's funny because I do find that about the song, that it does really bring like a shush. Not that there's always a chatter going on, but, between songs and when I'm talking to the audience and people are kind of resituating themselves or getting a drink or whatever. And some songs people, kind of continue to chit-chat depending. But this one, people do really kind of get to a hush, and I think it's because it's such a shift in topic. There's a lot of like, oh, I feel this way, or I love this person, or I don't love this person. I'm having this issue. But then when it comes into this song, it's kind of like, oh, hello, it's just very personal. And so I think it always just kind of, I don't think people expect it from me.
No.
I think people just, I think are just surprised when it comes out. And so that's kind of fun for me.
Now, you moved to L.A. from your home state in Pennsylvania, as we talked, after touring the country for 7 years. I'm surprised you survived that. But L.A. is a tough town for musicians, even when they're as good as you are. And since you're a solo artist, you don't have a team, that you're always working with. And a big city like L.A. can get pretty lonely. So why L.A., and have you conquered its anonymity, its loneliness?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I mean, Los Angeles is really the hub of the music industry. And I, you know, when I was living in Philadelphia, it was easy for me to tour the East Coast a lot, which is great. It was just, you know, like a nice jumping point to be all over the East Coast for shows. But I found that I wasn't able to do exactly what it was that I wanted to do as far as networking and getting my name out there as I was when I would come out to Los Angeles. There's just a lot happening here, a lot of really, you know, I say this and I feel like it sounds like I'm saying there are not wonderful people in Philly. There's wonderful people in Philly, but there's a lot of wonderful people in Los Angeles, very like-minded, and it's good to be around that. It's just kind of good to be surrounded by people who are all pursuing a creative endeavor, and I find that very helpful to myself as an artist and as a writer. So there's that, and it just felt like the right place for me. It felt like the place to be. People ask me why I didn't go to Nashville, and I really enjoy Nashville. I like being there. I like visiting. I like working with writers down there. But it doesn't feel, you know, you just kind of sometimes have a gut instinct about where you're supposed to be, and Nashville feels like somewhere I'm supposed to visit, and New York feels like somewhere I'm supposed to visit and work there. But to be in Los Angeles and really kind of make my home and my home here so that I can grow and expand as an artist. And yeah, as a solo artist, it's really difficult. I don't work with other musicians consistently. I manage myself and I book my own shows. So it can be very isolating. And I'm learning, you know, you do have to involve other people to a certain extent. So I'm learning to ask help a little bit more, which is good. And I'm also connecting with other artists who are the same, you know, are doing the same thing that I am. We're all kind of isolated a little bit in a weird way. And I'm grateful to have met along the way other musicians that I bring in for shows. You know, I have a friend who played the Hotel Cafe show, my friend Sean, who's a fantastic songwriter and guitarist. He played in Los Angeles and in San Diego when I played there, and I picked up some musicians. My sister played with me, Mr. Hillary, when I was in Philly. That was awesome. I had a violinist named Phoebe in New York and a drummer in Boston, you know, and named Kyle, and like I just, and a whole band in Seattle that I got to play with, the Backdoor Trio. So I have, you know, it's really nice when I can bring in other musicians, and it's a little bit less of an isolating process. But yeah, it can be kind of lonely, and it's just a matter of, I find, reaching out and, again, identifying or connecting with other people who are like, I know exactly what you're going through.
Well, I'm glad that you're beginning to feel more at home in my hometown. It is the music capital of the world, and we're glad you're part of it. I think your cell phone is drifting a little bit because you're getting a little bit distorted here and there. So I'm going to play another one of your wonderful songs while you walk around to find just the right place to get all the bars you can, okay?
Okay.
This is One More Day by... I love that song. While the music was playing, we got an interesting question in on the chat room. This is from Gary Clark, and Gary Clark is in London. And
hi.
Oh, you know Gary, okay.
I do. I know Gary. Gary's a wonderfully dedicated fan. I love that. It's always nice to actually know who's listening, and he's always piping in from London, and I love that. So, hi, Gary. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, Gary says on the chat room that I just wanted to say how much I'm enjoying Mary's interview and how her passion for music shines through in her song. So, Gary, let me say, great. I'm glad to know that we have an audience in London, and I agree with everything you said there. We're almost out of time here. I wanted a quick question, and then we're going to have to wrap up. Do you anticipate while you're in L.A. you might also work in film or television?
Yes, actually, you know, I actually did a lot of film work when I first moved out here, and it's not something that I don't want to be doing so much. It's something that kind of ended up on the back burner a bit with this album and the tour and everything like that. But yeah, I have often been involved in film and television things, be it on screen or off. I actually went to school for theater, and I was pursuing some acting while I was out here. I got to do this Hallmark Christmas film last year. That was a lot of fun. I played an office receptionist. That was exciting. And I actually just worked on a film that's going to be released in July that some wonderful friends of mine have, like, it's a feature film called The Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie, that my friends have been working on for a few years, and it's going to be great. So there's that as well. So, yes, I do work in film and television, although it's not my main focus.
Okay. I want to get back to one more day while we have a minute here. There's a line in that song, "My body is your weather vane, your lightning runs through me, give me one more day, give me one more way to feel the pain I'm in, and then you're free to walk away." There's a lot of themes in your songs, in Beautiful Tortured and Standing on the Edge of Goodbye, that have that kind of heartbreak and loss. And you're not old enough to have that much heartbreak in your life. And I'm not asking you to tell us how old you are, but I know you couldn't have all of the pain that you sing about in your song. At least I certainly hope not.
Well, you know, people experience a lot of different things throughout their lifetime. You just never know what people have been through. I mean, for myself, I had a very difficult period of time a few years ago. As I had mentioned before, you know, I did go through a divorce, and I went through just a lot of relationship changes with moving across the country and just a shift in my life. So it was a very interesting time period.
Well, I'm looking forward to this album, and then when the next album comes out, we're going to hear all those happy songs about you living in Los Angeles.
You know, it's so funny because everybody says stuff like that. They're always like, oh, you know, it's like there's like so much sad, and I look forward to like all the happy stuff. And there is a nice handful of happy stuff on the album as well. But it's also funny because almost everybody's favorite song is that one More Day, which is like the saddest song on the album. And everyone's like, oh, man, I wish you'd play happy. But I really love that really dark, really sad song. And when I need to cry, I just put it on, you know. It's so funny because everybody's got that, and everybody needs to express it and kind of get it out. Or, you know, if you didn't get it, if I didn't get it out in the song, I don't know what I would do. I feel like it's just the greatest therapy outlet for me, you know. People who aren't writing songs, I don't know how they do it. I have a punching bag to go home to.
Well, unfortunately, our therapy outlet right now is that the network's going to throw us off because we're just about out of time. So let me remind our audience that the album is The Girl You Thought You Knew. It's available at iTunes, at Bandcamp, and best of all, it's on her website, the store on her website. That's maryscholz.com, MarysCholz.com. And I suggest you go there because there's a lot of good stuff, including her blog. Mary, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. And anybody who wants to buy the album, the physical hard copy on my website, I'll send you a download code to download it right away while you're waiting for it to arrive in the mail.
Okay.
And please find me on Facebook and say hello.
You've been listening to Music Friday with Patrick O'Heffernan from CyberStation USA. Blog on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the CyberStation USA Network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page and follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Vote for your favorite musician on musicfriday.nationbuilder.com, and we'll invite them on the show. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartlebin. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. Download this and other Music Friday programs at cyberstationusa.com, or if you want it right away, at blogtalkradio.com/musicfriday. We are off next Friday for the July 4th holiday, but you can get your Music Friday live fix by downloading any of our hundreds of classic shows at blogtalkradio.com/musicfriday. That's blogtalkradio.com/musicfriday. Have a great music weekend and a great music holiday. Goodbye, everybody.